Okay, back in Timothy chapter 3, and we're getting close to the end of the third chapter, and we've been dealing in chapter 3 for sure, and part of chapter 2, all of chapter 2 basically, because this was Bill in 1 Timothy 2 there, and in the structure of the scripture as instruction and discipline, and it dealt with men and women that were having the services in their house. And that's the way it started off, you know, with the mystery truth. It generally started in people's houses. And so we've dealt with it in chapter 2 and chapter 3. And I go back to look at it again to remind each of us that what we've been talking about it for a good many weeks here is those individuals that opened up their own places to have their studies and to have the Word of God put forth. And so we left off at the end of 12, verse 12 of chapter 3 last time, and I'm just going to read 12 and then 13. And it says in 1 Timothy 3:12, "Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house well." Now this letter or epistle here is written to young Timothy. And young Timothy has been with Paul for a period of time, but yet he is still growing, and Paul is still talking to him as a father would talk to a son. And verses 14 and 15 kind of gets back to, you know, you think, well, you know, he's grown a good bit at this time, but yet, still, this was something that Paul wanted Timothy and the others to know. The expectation was of having service in your place and you being responsible for it. And Paul, after he has been given this knowledge of the mysterion truth, he doesn't mince words much when it comes to the situation as to how the order should be in those places. And so there was not a lot of leeway that was cut for anybody.
The walk that went with the doctrine.
Absolutely is important. So we're going to start with 13 after reading 12, where it says, "Let the deacons and the husbands and the wives and the children's that all needs to work out well." 13. And it says, "For they," and that's who we're talking about here, those people, "for they that have use the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." Okay. That having been said in the King James Version, let me read my notes. These things, and this is the subject of this study from chapter 2 down through 3:13. Basically, this is the last verse in that particular thing. 14, 15, and 16 is giving you a little different slant. We'll talk about that in a minute. But it says, for they, did I say that the study was 128? If I didn't, I'll tell you now. Okay. It says, for they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase, and that purchase there, and I'm not going to try to pronounce that word, purchase. And it's not used very often in Scripture, but it's the Strong's 4046. If you want to look it up sometime, and it means to acquire or to buy to themselves a good degree. So if they have done it in a way that Paul expected it to go forth and to be brought out that way, it was like purchasing something of great importance or great worth, if you will, because God's word is a great wealth, and it is a worthy portion because it is true and truth from one end to the other. And it says, it was purchased to themselves, a purchase to themselves was a great degree. And I scratched my head a little bit at that one, but that's Strong's 898. And the word there is bathmos. And bathmos, when you look it up in 898 in the Greek, it means a step of grade or dignity. You have brought yourself into a place of a different grade of individual because you have allowed your mind and your and the Holy Spirit to work in unison to accommodate and to bring these people around to this beautiful, great knowledge that God has given to man now that he has kept secret down through the ages, times after times. And he finally gave it to the Apostle Paul to fill up or finish that the Son of God could not do or did not do because it wasn't time for it to happen when the Son of God was here on the earth. Okay, so we're going to talk about this good degree just a little bit. And Jack's turn at his notes and it's what he has done. And it says, and great boldness or freedom in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And certainly, the faith that we're talking about here that man can have is not his own faith, because his own faith was not the point here. It was the faith of Christ Jesus, who made the arrangement with the Father way back eons ago, that if this all came about, that he would do the work that it would take to bring everything back around into the will of God. And certainly, this is the faith which he produced when he was on the cross and when he came down from the cross and was placed in a tomb and went and preached to the spirits in prison or in bondage. And then he showed himself after 3 days, and he was there for 40 days. And he told them to be in Jerusalem, that soon the Comforter would come, and certainly the Comforter did come, and it indwelled a man. Indwelled a man. It was generally with or upon, but now it indwells man. We have the opportunity to have that embellished in our lives, to lead, guide, and direct us. And it is, and can be, and should be, our GPS. Because when man put these little things up into space, and he says, okay, you can never be lost. Well, the GPS was already there, because it was God's perfect Son. I don't think man ever gave that a thought when he said, these global positioning systems would have anything to do with mankind and God. But certainly, they do. And there's one thing about our GPS system: when we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we can never be lost, because we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that sealing takes care of everything from my prayers on down. Because lots of times we know not what we need to pray for, but the Holy Spirit does and makes intercession for us. Amen. The Holy Spirit does lots of things for us that we never see and understand. We don't know it. But yet he does it. And so that's the faith that we can hold on to. Our faith, we can't do anything with our faith. It's like filthy rags. It's something to be thrown away. Not of any good use. But you see, the faith of Christ, the faith in what he did. And I know, if you go to the book of John and you read the book of John, and you go to John and you read through there and you find out that he asked the Lord to let the cup pass from him, but that didn't happen because he knew what he had come for, and he knew that that's because the Holy Spirit is three. The Godhead is three, and the Holy Spirit is one part of the Godhead. And they all run in unison. And that's where you find that in the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Because that's pictures and shots taken from different views and different men of the same thing. I was a magistrate in this county for 7 years. I went down to Columbia and took a little course down there when I got the job. And I was working for myself anyway, so it was a part-time job. But one of the things they said was this, that the more, if you get people before you in a court of law, and the more people that you can get to testify, and if it's a possibility, bring three in, because that is the normal way that our law is drawn up. And if you can get three people to testify about one thing, you can generally come to the truth of what's really going on there. And so that was a thought that I've kept in my mind for a long time, but I found out after about 7 years that that wasn't fitted for me anyway. So judgment is truly the Lord's work, not man's work. So here we are. We're going to look at that in Jack's work, and we're going to look at the notes in Jack's, and we're going to find out a little bit about this thing of degree, to a degree. You know, we've heard this. Man uses this in some of their things that they get involved in these different things that they pick up and try to do, and they have different degrees of it to try to make things go for them. And so it says this, Jack says this out of the Koine Greek. He said, "These for well having served degrees for themselves, good acquire, and much boldness in faith in Christ Jesus." Bringing it down to the more modern English, it says, "For these having served well, acquire a good degree for themselves, and much boldness in the faith in Christ Jesus." So, to realize that if you take on an office or a place of how people do and operate to get things done, especially if you're doing it for the purpose of bringing forth the last and the greatest event that God had given to mankind, is certainly something that we need to look at in every aspect that we can. So Jack says the word here for acquire is purchase. However, there is no commercial connotation. In our current culture, acquire is much closer to the concept intended. Those who serve faithfully may hope to receive a favorable eye of the Lord toward them or themselves. The degree is part of an analogy with a sundial, the first clocks that man came up with, a way of telling time together. It was not uncommon for folks to speak of degrees of success paralleling the progress of the sundial. The word boldness is restricted to apply only with the coordinate faith. No other boldness must be assumed in this understanding. How marvelous it is that so many phases and sentence of the writing of the Apostle Paul climax or center in the word Christ Jesus. How appropriate a guide for the members of his body to be able to do the same thing. And that is another point that the Apostle Paul is trying to make to young Timothy here. And I know that Timothy has heard a lot of good things from the Apostle Paul, but the Apostle Paul is looking at Timothy now like he's his true son. I know he's the son of his in faith, but he's looking at Timothy like, "Well, I'm going to lay it all on you, a great portion of it on you, and you're going to have to take the ball and go with it." because that's the way it's going to work out. Okay, we've got several places that we need to look at here, according to Brother Jack, and to realize. But now, you know, as man has progressed down through the days and times, we can wear a little timepiece on our wrist or whatever, and we can all know what time it is in the place that we're in. But that's the reason that I think God started out with the 360 degrees, because that is an orbit of the sun, or at least it was the orbit of the sun, I think, around the earth. But, you know, things happen. And so God in Peleg's day broke up the with the earthquakes and the movements of the plates on the earth, and it finally wound out being 365 and a quarter days. So it's not the 360 as it once was, but you know, in the English version of measure, 360 degrees was the degree of a circle, complete circle. So that was what it started out being. But see, things took place, and the way things happened up, it's not quite the same way today, because we have to, every 4 years we have to add another 6 hours to the situation to make it work out. And we call that leap year. I don't know why leap year, but that's what it is anyway. Okay, let's look at a few places here. We're going to turn first back into the Old Testament. We're going to look in the 2 Kings, and we're going to look at chapter 20, and that's on page 520 if you have a companion Bible. So 520 in the companion Bible is 2 Kings 20. We'll get there in a minute. 2 Kings 20. I may have took my...
marker out.
I may have took my marker out. I'm not sure. Or it may have fell out somewhere. Okay, 2 Kings 20. We want to look at 9 through 11. Okay, let's look at 8 through 11. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, "What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day?" And Isaiah said, "This sign shall thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, "It is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. May, but let the shadow return backwards 10 degrees. Then Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz." So they were needing... I think what this thing turned out to be, they were needing more daylight to fight this battle. And so God moved the degrees a little bit so that they would have more time to fight the battle. And that degree was a degree of the of the sundial to make that work out that way for them. Okay, so you see how time was made for man, but God can deal with it any way he chooses. So that is a good thought right there, that can work that way. Okay, let's go to Proverbs 28:1, and that's on page 900. If you have a companion Bible.
It's interesting that Hezekiah didn't think it was so big a deal to go forward.
Let's see, page 900. Okay. Almost got there. Let me go. Okay. 900. Okay, we're going to look at chapter 28. And we're going to start with verse 1. It says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. So, you see, man sometimes don't pay any attention to what's going on around him. So you have the evil and you have the righteous. And it says evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. So we got over to verse 5. I didn't read verse 3 and 4, but 5 is the answer to this situation here in Proverbs 28. Evil men understand not judgment. They got their mind and their thoughts on themselves or on things that doesn't pertain to God. But they that seek the Lord should. And I'll say it, this is the way it should be. They understand all things, or at least try to understand and come to the point of understanding for all things. Because if not, we're wasting a lot of time. Okay, let's look at Luke. Let's go to the book of Luke. And we're going to look at Luke 17. Luke 17:33. I'll get it in a minute. Luke chapter 17 is a long chapter. Okay. And Ronnie's been going over things in Genesis, and he went through some a few steps back about Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. And it says, remember Lot's wife, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. So, you know, she looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. And she looked back to something that she wanted. But yet, it wasn't God's will that take place. And so, she lost her life by wanting the things that were there rather than the things that were ahead of her. It's not good to look back sometimes, really, in a situation like that. Okay, let's look at 2 Corinthians 3. We're close. Second Corinthians 3:12-14. I'm off one page here. It's on page 1732. Yeah. 12-14. Well, let's look at 11. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Is much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plain speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil or a cover over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfast look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which was done away with in Christ. Okay. Now, turn with me to 2 Corinthians 7. And I got a bookmark in just about every place in 2 Corinthians lately. 2 Corinthians 7:4. Okay. Great is my boldness of speech toward you, Paul says. Great is my glorying of you, full stop. He says, I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in our tribulations. For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God, the Comforter, that comforted those things are cast down, comfort us by the coming of Titus. So that was another part of there where it's really good to keep moving forward, keep going ahead and not really going back, because they were in great peril lots of times. And on Philippians 1:20, that's the last one that Jack had for us to look at in this verse of Scripture. And Philippians 1:20. Okay. According to my earnest expectations, this is on 1774, and my hope. Okay, two things here. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, Paul says, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I won't not. He says, he's got that advantage over me. He'll take care of that. But Paul says, I'm ready to lay down my life for this cause. And so, this is early in the days that Paul had been given this understanding. So, he realized the importance of doing things the way that God would have them to go. And if you were involved in spreading forth this good news that had been hid from ages and generations, then it was necessary for you to do it in a way that would be well spoken of by all involved. Okay, so let's go back and pick up with verse 14 in 1 Timothy 3. And Paul says this to Timothy, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. So he and Timothy were not together because this is the need for the epistle. This is the need for the letter. It's addressed to young Timothy back in the first part of 1 Timothy. These things, and the subject here of these things are the men and women, and their run or their rule of the church that is in their house. This is what we've been dealing with for about 8 or 10 studies. The rule that these people were the stations that they were taking on as ministers, as bishops, as deacons, as those that would stand up and proclaim Christ and what he did with his finished work, and did it in the way that would be pleasing. So he says, these things write I unto thee, unto you, Timothy, hoping. In 14 it says, hoping to come. And Paul says, I'm saying this because I am looking forward with desire to see you again, to be with you again. So Paul was not looking back like Lot's wife was looking back. He wasn't looking back at other situations that he'd been in because God had made it possible for him to go by all these things, to put them in the background, or as we say in this day and time, in the rearview mirror. Mm-hmm. Not looking back, but looking forward, okay? Looking forward with desire to come unto thee shortly. And that's a full stop. And that is, it is all the will of God. And he gives us one place to look, and that's Romans chapter 16. The last chapter in the book of Romans. So let's go back to Romans 16. Paul picks that up. Romans 16, and we're going to look at 17, verse 17 through 20. And Paul says this to the Romans. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offense, contrary to the doctrine which we have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet, I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And this is part of the last few verses that he was writing to the Romans there. And certainly Timothy was with him at that point in that thing. So he was calling back to Timothy again and telling him, keep looking ahead, don't look back. Verse 15 in 1 Timothy 3, and it says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And it seems like here that Paul has brought Timothy, kind of dressed him down to, you know, Timothy, this is it. This is it. It's becoming it. And certainly that it was. But let's look at the notes there that I've prepared, and we'll look at Jack's notes. Well, we didn't do Jack notes on 14. I'm sorry. Let's go ahead and do that. And out of the Koine Greek, it's pretty close in the English that we read. It said, these things I write, these things to you I write, hoping to come toward you shortly. And it says this, Paul has every desire and hope to be able to come to Timothy and the assembly shortly. Only God can direct time to his will. But Paul knows God and the assembly has reason to believe in the benevolence of their Lord and Savior. Paul has no independent destinations. His life, think about this now, his life is wrapped up in the activities of his people. In the body, in his Lord, the head of that body. And it says, see Romans 16, and what we read there, 17 through 20. Okay, verse 15. We'll read it again. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Seems like he's going back to a younger time with Timothy here, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. It's like, son, keep in mind and keep it going. He says, but if, in 15, here is a possible condition of circumstance. But if I tarry long or get delayed, that thou mayest know fully how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. I've never have read a time when Timothy wasn't or didn't show respect to these things. But yet, Paul thought it one more time. to tell him again. And it was just like he was a kid again. Mm-hmm. Now thou art to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar is the word stulos, and it's 4769 in the Strong's, and it is stulos, and it's a one grounded as a support base. It is something that is grounded as a support base. And I think this is what he's trying to tell young Timothy here. You're going to be grounded, and you're going to be the support base of that that's coming up. I'm not going to be here very long. And I think Paul knows he's not. As a teacher of the law and a ground of the truth. Because these pillars that's mentioned, and every time one is mentioned, it is one that Christ has called or one that God has set forth to be looked upon as a pillar of the law, because he did not want things to be done in any evil way at all. And so these pillars were used of these men as they were the staunch support of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And they used all of these things, especially starting in the Old Testament and then coming into the New Testament. And Christ, when he come as a man, as he come as being man's God and God's man.
Yeah.
And they were all to be based and grounded in the truth of God's word. Okay. Let's go to back to Proverbs and look at Proverbs 22. And how much time we got left, right?
9:27.
Boy, this is... You're going to have to hurry on.
Well, I took a few minutes here.
Okay. Proverbs 22:1 says this, and we've read it a few weeks ago. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. It said the rich and the poor meet together, and the Lord is the maker of them all. But a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But you see, it goes on and on talking about the things that the evil do. And the evil cannot stand the truth of light. And of course, those try to do the things in darkness are trying to hide these things. Okay. Let's go from Proverbs to 1 Corinthians again. Seems like Jack's on a roll with Corinthians and
lots of examples in there.
Well, it's part of showing them their errors of ways in Corinthians. This is a doctrine of a change, if you will. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. 17. Okay. 1 Corinthians 3:16 on 1700. One of them is on 1701. It says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." Now again, he is telling these people that you live in the age where the Holy Spirit indwells man. And you ought to act. "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy." Which temple are you, or ye are? Which temple ye are? He is asking the question. How are you conducting yourself here? Okay. That's 3:16 and 17. Okay, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 4:1. Well, it's on the same page in the Companion Bible. And it says, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." Well, the mysteries of God hadn't been all shown at that time.
Some had, some had not.
But it says this in verse 2, "Moreover, it is required as stewards that a man be found faithful." But Paul said, "I'm not going to judge you." That was on page 1701. Okay, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7, 37. And, okay. It says, "Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well." So then, "He that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better." So there's another story there, but we won't get into that. Okay, now 2 Corinthians 1. Okay, 2 Corinthians 1, we're going to look at this. 1:12. It says, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our good conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you." Okay, that's what Jack wanted us to see there. In 2 Corinthians 1:12. Okay, 2 Corinthians 6:16. And Jack kept putting on some 1 and 2 Corinthians. 6:16 says this, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Let's go to Ephesians 2. In Ephesians 2, look at verse 3. Well, we'll look at 2 and 3. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So it's important that we realize that the mind and the heart needs to work with the Holy Spirit for us to be the type of people that we need to be. All three need to be in accord in that body, in this body. And then that body will take care of itself. Okay. Now, Colossians 1:23. We're getting there. Colossians 1:23 says this, and we've read it, I'm sure. If we continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. And that's the way he looked at that. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 1:1. We just have to turn three or four pages to get there. 1:1 in 1 Thessalonians says this, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, and to the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, let's go to Titus. Titus 1:7. In Titus 1:7, this. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. That is Titus 1:7. Okay, let's go to Hebrews 3:6. We're about done. And Hebrews 3:6 says this, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. And that's Hebrews 3:6 on page 1827. Okay, let's go to 1 Peter 1:15. Old Peter. First Peter 1:15 says this, 14:15, as obedient children, not fashioning fashion in yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manners of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So, as one should be, the other one should be. And let's go to Revelation 3:12. We'll be done. Revelation 3:12. I'm going to read 11 to 14. And he says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man taketh thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen and the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Okay, so that completes what Jack has given us to write. And I think I did this in reverse order too, so I'll go ahead and say this. But if I should delay, that you may know it behooves the house of God, ye ought to behave yourself, which is the assembly of God, living pillar and base of the truth. And Jack says it is not that Paul would purposely delay the coming to be with them, but rather the time is indefinite. In the meantime, Paul is giving them some simple rules of behavior in the place where the people are meeting and among the people who are his body. The assembly is regarded as a pillar which undergirds the proclaiming of God's truth. And that completes that verse, the scripture. And we will get to the final verse next time we meet, and it will take a little time to get through that because Jack is pretty well laid out a pretty good deal. On 1 Timothy 3:16, and it is what I call a pregnant verse of scripture. It is truly groundwork.
Dissect.
Yeah, it's a great thing to think on the six things that's in that one verse of scripture. And I like to get them verses occasionally because it's that way. You know, we did one in Colossians, you know, and to go back into whatever things are good, whatever things are important, whatever things. All this kind of sums up what we are and what we should be, and all that. And this is what he's trying to tell Timothy here, that, man, don't look back. Keep looking forward. Keep going strong and keep doing the will of God. Because it's going to fall on your shoulders not long after. Mm-hmm. I'm gone. You're going to be the man. So thank you for being with us tonight, and God bless. Hope you got a little out of that. And because it's important. Always look forward, never look back, because that is that which is behind, there's nothing we can really do about it but to press forward in the will of God is what we need to do. Mm-hmm. I tried to tell my sister that today, this morning. And she said, I don't know where she's going to church now, but she said, they want me to give a testimony. I said, okay. She said, well, I've got it written down. I said, that's not what God told Paul to do when he went before the council. I said, let the Holy Spirit do the work. Don't look behind. Look ahead, hon. Don't look behind. Yeah. I don't know where she got it or not, but nevertheless, I felt like it was necessary for me to tell her that today. So God bless her in her thing for Sunday, when I think whenever she going to do it. So, pray for her. I'm praying for her. So thank you very much for being with us tonight.